It's time to wake to sleep with the number one sleep authority, Sleep Science Today, and Sleep Better Tonight.
If you're listening to today's episode, it's because you probably want better sleep. So on this episode, we're going to bring you just what you're asking for. We're going to be speaking with Natalie Walton, who's the general manager leading the team at Better Sleep. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. This is Sleep Science Today. And Natalie Walton, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Andrew. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, we're excited to have you. We have so much we want to talk to you about, so I'm going to dig right in. So for those people who may not be aware, what is Better Sleep?
Better Sleep is an app that does exactly what it says. It helps you sleep better. And how do we do that? We have hundreds of meditations and sounds and sleep tales to put you to sleep. And one of our most beloved features is the ability to customize your own sounds. So let's say you love to hear crickets, like crickets put you to sleep, but also you reminisce of your washer machine. And so you can create crickets with washer machine, with white noise. Really, there's an infinite number of possibilities. And that's why people really come to us, because through the sounds and meditations, we help you sleep better.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, thank you for that. So let's back up a little bit and let's learn a little bit more about you and what generated the whole idea and got you to this concept. Because I know you've done a lot of work in a lot of big companies before, and then you've had some other companies of your own. So give us the benefit of your background. What got us here?
Absolutely. So what got me to Better Sleep is actually a really personal story. So my last company, I was a founder. I was a founder of a maternal mental health company, and I sold that to Babylist in 2023. And prior to that, I had spent well over a decade in big companies like Airbnb, Google, JP Morgan. But what got me to Better Sleep is personal. So I had my son on the cusp of 2020, and ever since I had him, I could not really get sleep. I struggled so much with lack of sleep, and I saw so many specialists, and everyone would tell me, you know, Natalie, you just had a child. It's a pandemic. You're running a company. Like, you're supposed to feel exhausted. But I'm like, but I really feel exhausted. This doesn't feel natural. And what's kind of funny is I was running a meditation company while experiencing this exhaustion. So I was doing all of the things. And I went on a personal journey for about 5 years to get to the bottom of why I wasn't sleeping. Ultimately, it was I found out that I was anemic. I found out this past summer. And I got 2 iron infusions. And I just like popped back to life. But it was really my personal quest to solve my sleep issues. And then also my son, who is now 6 years old, it turns out he has sleep apnea. And so diagnosing that in a very small child is, it is quite the search. And so I felt like I spent so much of my life getting to the root cause of sleep that I wanted to give back to the world and join this company and really take it to a newer level and expand our capabilities in supporting those who struggle with sleep.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So it's always meaningful when you have your own kind of skin in the game in terms of the realities that you're dealing with, the problem that you're solving.
I think so.
Yes. So, you know, before you came to the company, though, tell us, what is it that kind of got you personally into the concept of dealing with entrepreneurial issues? Because I want to understand your thinking and your thought process so we can then translate that into what the actual app does today for people.
Yeah. So what got me into entrepreneurship? I did not start in entrepreneurship. I started my career in a very traditional sense. My first job out of college was in banking and finance. Very stressful job, not a ton of creativity. Very much follow the rules. And, in 2010, I was somehow invited to Stanford graduate school of business, like a prospective students weekend. And I came out to Stanford, and for the first time in my life, I spoke with what was an entrepreneur. And so this is like 2010, I think maybe before entrepreneurship was as cool as it is today. But I saw people that were solving real problems, right? It's like some people grew up in poverty and they were creating these microfinance companies in Africa. Like people used music and education, and it's like they saw problems and they were building the solution. And in my mind, I was like, you can do that? I didn't know that was a possibility. And so I convinced myself after going to that weekend, I was like, I need to do everything in my power to make sure that I go to Stanford. And lo and behold, I did. And so I spent 2 years there really just being exposed to all different types of entrepreneurs, a completely different way of thinking, meeting people that had the courage to build products to solve their problems. And so even though that's not the route that I took immediately following business school, I worked in very big companies, but in entrepreneurial roles. When I finally had a problem that I felt was big enough to solve, which for me, that was having a very difficult pregnancy and then just the mental health aspects associated with that. So when I finally experienced that, I felt the courage and the pull that, wow, I have the lived experience of a very deep problem. And by now, I have the courage, I have the skills, and hopefully a lot of the tools to build this. And so that's my journey to entrepreneurship. It was really seeing that if you there's a problem, you actually indeed can solve it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you know, you mentioned you worked in companies like Google and Airbnb and eBay and things like that. But then, as I understand it, you co-founded Expectful, and then later also work with Babylist. Can you tell us? So it sounds like those were sort of your first ventures into your own entrepreneurial stages.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's entrepreneurship adjacent. I mean, I'd say Expectful for me was, you know, as close to entrepreneurship as you get, but it was fully entrepreneurship. So I was actually at Airbnb, and I was on maternity leave and had just gone through a pretty horrific pregnancy journey, and I was like itching to solve this problem that I was experiencing around just mental health in pregnancy. And I remembered that I had used this app in pregnancy called Expectful, and it was a mindfulness and meditation app, and it really helped me. And so I had time on my hands. I mean, I had just given a baby, but I was on maternity leave. And so I was like, let me put this time to use. And so I reached out to the founder and I pitched myself on an advisory role and just to help him advise on the company. And he brought me on, and within like a month or so, I helped him sign one of the biggest deals that the company had ever seen. And the company was early stage at this point, so very early stage. And after just advising him for a couple of months, he's like, look, you know what? I think you would do a better job at running this company than I would. And so it was pre-seed company, so very early stage. I took it over and I raised $4.2 million in my first 90 days on the job to really have the capital and the space to take Expectful from where it was at a very early stage to grow it. And then over the course of 20 months, I built this company that was a mindfulness meditation app, but also gave mothers the care that they needed and the support that especially that they weren't getting during COVID. So like we had fitness classes, we connected moms to lactation consultants, community. We helped them get to sleep because that's also something moms just aren't getting. And in the span of 20 months, I grew the business significantly, and ultimately I sold it to Babylist, which is one of the largest baby retailers in the world. And so I did that all in a pretty compressed time frame. And, you know, it was quite the journey, but I loved every bit of it. And so after I left Babylist after the sale, I took some time off and I really wanted to think like, what is the next problem I want to solve? And I didn't even have to look that far because life shows its hand. My son was really struggling with sleep And in a span of 3 months, I took him to 40 doctor's appointments. And so, like, I had a four-year-old who just was not behaving well. Like, he just really couldn't function in life. And I'm like, I didn't know what was wrong with him. And I was trying to help him. Ultimately, we took him to an ENT and we're like, he's enlarged tonsils and adenoids. And so we got those removed and we did multiple sleep studies. Like, I've been to the sleep center doing the sleep studies over a half a dozen times. And after the surgery, which is wild, right? I don't know if anyone's done that, but it turns out he has sleep apnea and he requires a CPAP, a small child requiring a CPAP. And so really that is just like how I got on this. It was life showed me that sleep is going to be the next problem that you're going to solve, whether you like it or not.
Right. Well, so I'm hearing the genesis of a lot of this, because obviously the work that you did at Expectful, learning about, you know, all things there in terms of meditation and really kind of working from that end. And now you've got your own sleep issues. You've got a young son, which is, it's very unusual for the sleep apnea for someone that young. So I can see how it all starts to come together. So with this though, some people might be thinking to themselves, okay, wait a minute. She said that she had just had a child. She's home on maternity leave, but she's building out this company, you know, all at the same time. Tell us a little bit more about your leadership style and your mindset that helps you to do these things.
Yeah, I think it's probably an innate trait. I just feel like our time is limited on Earth, and then I have a lot of energy for things that excite me. And, you know, there's also just something incredibly special about becoming a parent. It's like you realize that the time that you had is it's not slashed in half. Like, you get 20% of the time that you had before, especially on maternity leave when you're like nursing a child and you're really taking care of them. And so I thought that if I'm going to do something that's like not taking care of my child, it really needs to matter. Like, it's not going to be going to a job that I don't like. It's like, I have to be excited to get up every morning. And when I had this opportunity in front of me to take on this role at Expectful, I couldn't sleep at night because it just kept the excitement and the opportunity to build something big. It just kept me up at night. And I was like, you know, I have to listen to this voice in my head and I have to pursue this thing that is telling me, do the big thing that might seem scary, but it's like the thing that you cannot live without. And so just to answer your question on mindset, I mean, part of it is innate, part of it is just excitement and just feeling like I want to spend my time doing what is going to give me the most happiness.
Right, right. Which is fantastic, because if you're doing something that you love, then of course you're going to have all this energy and vigor that you want to put into it. So, and I can hear it through just your explanation as you talk about it. I can hear the energy. So that's wonderful. So the term consumer grade rigor. Yes. What does that mean to you in terms of the context of healthcare?
Consumer grade rigor. I mean, that is such a I think like it's an important context. I mean, oftentimes today we're living in this place in society where, you know, so many people are influenced by TikTok and influencers they see that are selling whatever that might not be backed in science. And so my approach to consumer grade rigor is actually one that is still rooted in scientific knowledge, scientific backing. And it's a product that's built for consumers, but it's still grounded in what matters. And at the helm of every company that I've been at, that is so critical to me, is that we bring evidence-based solutions to our consumers, because there are way too many solutions out there that are not evidence-based. So I think, like, as you're building a consumer product, you know, it's not necessarily need to be hospital grade. It doesn't need to be HIPAA compliant, but it does need to be rooted in evidence. And that's something I'm just proud of that I've done at all of my companies. So at Expectful, something that's incredibly interesting was we did a research study that showed that using our app and therefore meditating led to creating 8 ounces more of breast milk a day. The reason behind that, yeah, isn't that, I mean, if you've ever had a child, that's a lot. That's a full bottle. And like, that's a lot of work for people to come by. And the reason is because meditation, it relaxes your body. It calms you down. And so I'm not a scientist here, but I know that that, if you look at the cause and effect, that can cause you to produce more milk. And so that's like, you know, at my other company of how we were rooted in science is like we ran research studies. Here at Better Sleep, we work with some incredible sleep doctors. Like we work with Dr. Eric Prather at the University of San Francisco. And we work with Dr. Shelby Harris, who's a renowned sleep doctor that specializes in women's sleep. And so whatever you're building, I think it's important to build it for consumers, build it to be accessible, but make sure that it's rooted in truth.
Excellent. And that is so important today. And that's really one of the reasons for the genesis of this show is that there was so much either lack of information or misinformation out there about sleep that I wanted to bring the science together, thus the name science in the show, so that people could really truly benefit from things that are meaningful, researched, and proven. So we're at a spot where we need to take our first break. But when we come back, I'd like to talk more about the actual Better Sleep app because there's so much more to it that we haven't talked about. So we will be right back on Sleep Science Today.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Be sure to visit sleepsciencetoday.com for access to all of our channels and special offers.
Sleep Science Today.
All right, we are back on Sleep Science Today. We're talking to Natalie Walton, and we're talking about Better Sleep, in specifics, the app Better Sleep. So you told us about some of the, you know, background that got you to have an interest in sleep and some of the ways that it affects you personally. So Better Sleep itself, now we get into sort of the nuts and bolts of specifically what people are going to find on that app and what is it going to do for them from a scientific perspective? What type of benefits do they receive from using some of the features?
Yeah, so it's tied to, I mean, there's many different ways to use Better Sleep. When you come and you open Better Sleep, you'll see that we can connect you with an abundance of sounds. We can connect you with meditations that you can do during the day. You can do before bed. We have hypnosis. We even have a CBTI course. Or we have sound soundscapes, like tales to put you to sleep. And so when you come to Better Sleep, that's what you can expect to find on the surface. It's like if you're saying, I need to get to bed right now. My mind is racing. I need a painkiller. Oh, download the Better Sleep app and it's your painkiller. There's more though. We're also a vitamin too, and I'll explain that. But you can access this. And what the parts that are rooted in science is like how does sound work? So the folks that actually founded Better Sleep, they founded it because they suffered from tinnitus. And so they worked with medical researchers to create sounds that would drown out the tinnitus. And so, I mean, that's just starting of how we evolved, was science around that. But there's additionally, there's a lot of science around how different frequency of noises, like we have white noise, we have green noise, brown noise. There's actually a lot of color noises that, like, you can find one that works well for your brain to put you to sleep. Again, there's so many studies on how meditation during the day and also before sleep helps you. And so that's like what users can immediately expect when they get to better sleep. But there's also actually a whole nother layer. And this is part of what I'm building and why I'm so excited to be at Better Sleep, is that people come to us for content, but we're today and we're continuing to build on layers that help you understand your sleep better. So we have a sleep recorder that records your sleep and gives you insights. We also are connected to Apple Health Kit, which basically then can connect you to any wearable that you might be using, so we can get your data and we can help you understand your sleep better. So for example, if you happen to snore at night, we can see that. And actually, we can record it. And so, you know, if your partner sleeps or you have a feeling that your partner sleeps and they don't believe you, you can record it and you can play it back. And it's really important to, it's like you have evidence. It's important to have this information because if you're struggling with sleep, if you actually have like a deeper sleep problem, information is your friend. And with that information, the last layer that we're building at Better Sleep is to connect you to the care providers that can help you solve these deeper solutions. So we're connected to sleep apnea partners, so that let's say you come to us for green noise, you listen to green noise, you turn on a recorder and you're like, oh, actually, I'm snoring a lot. I might have sleep apnea. We're then able to connect you to a sleep apnea diagnostic company that can do a virtual sleep apnea visit that's covered by insurance. And like, there you go. You have the full loop of care to solve your sleep issues.
Right, right. Wow. So with the recording part and the snoring that you're talking about, just out of curiosity, because I don't know whether you can do this yet or not, someone with sleep apnea or obstructive sleep apnea is going to probably gasp during the night. So not only snoring, but sort of a, you know, that catching there. Does it have the ability to register that?
It does. Yes. So it can capture sounds. And you know, what's really great is like, we're a global app. So wearables aren't accessible everywhere. I mean, the price point of wearables, like, I mean, first of all, I don't think, and although I'm a fan of Aura, like a lot of the wearables aren't going to be able to detect that. But even if you do wear them, you know, they're at a high price point. And so what I love about our feature is like, we're at a much more accessible price point and we do capture that. And we'll play it back and alert you if that's happening.
Right. Right. And that's such an important thing, because sleep apnea is, number one, it's so dangerous if you have it. But number two, most people never know that they have it because they're asleep when they're snoring and they have no idea that this is happening unless somebody tells them. So, you know, it's really important that people monitor themselves to make sure that that's not happening.
I couldn't agree more. And I mean, talking about personal stories. So I actually experienced sleep apnea in the third trimester of my pregnancy. And I didn't realize that sleep apnea in pregnancy is actually quite common. And it leads to pretty poor outcomes. I think this is why I had such a challenging birth, was because I was struggling with sleep apnea and couldn't breathe in the last couple of weeks of pregnancy. And I told my doctor this, and his response was, well, you know what, like, by the time we can get you into a sleep clinic, it's just going to be too late. It's just something you just kind of have to deal with. And what I love about our app and the way that we're approaching it is like, actually, that is false in 2026. That is not the case. So if that's something that you think you're struggling with, but you're not sure, you could just use our app. We could tell you, are you snoring? Are you gasping? And then on our platform, we can connect you with the virtual care that's covered by insurance. And you could get a solution really within a couple of, you could get seen within 24 hours and then get a solution. And so I'm loving how we're able to solve problems that are meaningful ones and really help the world get the sleep that they need.
Right, right. And, you know, another thing just for the audience to be aware of is oftentimes when we talk about obstructive sleep apnea, the picture that comes to mind is, you know, a middle-aged male, little extra weight, maybe a lot of extra weight, depending, loud snoring and all that, which is one of the risk categories. But there's also a lot of women, especially around menopausal age, that develop sleep apnea, and they don't fit the traditional, you know, what you would think. And so they may not even be thinking to look for sleep apnea, but they recognize that they're having troubles with their sleep and they don't know why.
Yes. I mean, I couldn't, that is so true. It's not just men. I mean, I have a very skinny, small child, and people, they're always surprised that he has sleep apnea. I mean, sleep apnea can truly happen to everyone.
Yes, yes. So, you know, the point is it's important to consider at least monitoring yourself just to make sure, especially if you notice that you're having trouble sleeping or waking up and not being refreshed. That's certainly one of the things that could be, you know, going on in the background. So, you know, you said that you want to meet people at 3 a.m. when they can't sleep. What does that look like in practice?
Yes. Well, I mean, well, I hope no one is awake at 3 a.m. I mean, I've spent most of the last 5 years up. Just my body would wake me up every day at 3 a.m. I mean, I'm a 40-year-old woman, probably perimenopausal. But for me, actually, the reason why I was waking up at 3 a.m. was because I had an iron deficiency, and it was just throwing my entire body off. And when you're someone who wakes up at 3 every morning and you're in bed and you're maybe you have night sweats and you're just thinking, oh my God, I'm up at 3 o'clock again. What do? I have to wake up in 3 and 6 hours. And then this vicious cycle of worry starts coming. You start looking like, is the sun peeking through my windows yet? And it creates this cyclical panic where you're in this doom state for until you solve the problem. And so my hope is that, you know, my hope is that you don't experience that. But if you are, I hope that you can download better sleep. We can at least calm your mind and get you back to sleep faster than you would on your own. My hope is then we can help you better understand the challenges in your sleep and eventually connect you to the care that you need to sleep for good. Because I am someone who, even though I was in the healthcare space or the health and wellness space, I had all the doctors. I mean, there's no reason why it should have taken me 5 years to like get to the bottom of my sleep habit, but it truly was an iron deficiency that was just missed because that, for some reason, the ferritin was not a test that was requested. And so if we do come across each other at 3, I just want you to know that there's hope and that we are going to try to be your partner and get you back to sleep.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, I can certainly see the benefit of accessing the app if you are awake at 3 and your mind is not letting you kind of calm down and go back to sleep, but to be able to engage with some, you know, calming sounds, meditation practices, anything of the like, mindfulness issues, these are all beneficial to help us get back to sleep and get that rest that we need. So, you know, sleep itself is, I'd say, relatively new to the market from the standpoint that a lot of people never even really thought about sleep. And even in the medical community, sleep has only become an issue as of like the mid-1970s. Prior to that, it was just assumed, well, we wake, we have all these problems when we wake, and then we sleep, and then we get up, and then we... So it was just a throwaway thing. And now people started, you know, researching and learning that sleep has all these impacts on us, and it impacts our daily functioning and whether we're walking around with brain fog or other things. So as we think about sort of the big picture here, we think about diet, we think about exercise, we think about the body as a holistic body. So I would love to hear your thoughts on where the whole industry, including yourself, are going into the future. How are you bringing in this holistic approach? But before you answer that, we've got to take our second break, and then we'll come back and get the answer to that question. We'll see you right back on Sleep Science Today.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Be sure to visit sleepsciencetoday.com for access to all of our channels and special offers.
Sleep Science Today. And sleep better tonight.
All right. Welcome back to Sleep Science Today. We're talking about sleep in terms of the big picture, holistically. Natalie?
Yes. I mean, when I think about sleep as a whole and how it plays into your greater wellness routine and just taking care of yourself, I think sleep is the pillar. And that's because sleep leads to better self-control. It leads to better awareness and alertness and other things like maintaining your diet, maintaining your mental health. It's all facilitated by having a good night's sleep. And so, I mean, today it's a little scary if I look at the wellness industry and particularly, I mean, if I'm being frank, the sleep industry, there's a lot of people that are selling you these expensive supplements. I mean, I just saw someone purchase $1 million mattress. I mean, whew, that just wow. Blows my mind, a custom-made mattress. But it seems like people are just throwing money at sleep in a way that is not productive. And so in terms of how sleep and how better sleep fits into the greater wellness equation, my hope is that better sleep serves as your foundation for achieving all of your wellness needs so that you're rested and that you can achieve what you wish. Better sleep specifically, I hope that we do so at an accessible, science-backed place. And what I mean by that is like we are an app or a subscription app. We have like it's really like pennies a day if you think about the cost of better sleep. Our goal is to be accessible and bringing you evidence-based solutions. And so even when the industry is trending towards these expensive gimmicks, I think that if you approach sleep from like, what is the basic need at an accessible cost, you can power everything else you need in wellness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's The good news is that we, meaning the consumer market, are becoming more and more aware of how all these things fit together and how important this is you know, sleep being a piece, but not a separate thing. What about when we talk about whole women's health? So differentiating women from men, is there a differentiation? And if so, what types of things should women be thinking?
Yes, I love that you asked this question as someone who's been in women's health. I mean, the population of women, half of the world is women. And unfortunately, there's haven't been solutions that are, have been studied for women. So, I mean, women by the very nature of their bodies have very different sleep cycles than men, and that's due to the hormonal cycle. So even as early as menstruation begins, you can see different sleep cycles in women. And so as young as 10 years old or younger, you can start seeing the variances depending on where they are in their cycle. And that will continue for their whole life, not to mention what happens to sleep in pregnancy and perimenopause and menopause. And so women experience volatility throughout their entire lives at a much more extreme rate than men. And so that's just one thing that's just not addressed, is that it's not consistent in the way that men's sleep is. And I don't think that there's enough of a dialogue and education around why. A second part is that when you think about studies, that maybe studies for melatonin or supplements, oftentimes these studies are not conducted on women. They're conducted on rodents per se, or they're conducted on men. Mm. And so clearly, women are going to need a different dosage than a man would, or, you know, a rodent, God forbid. And so, you know, I think women are really left out of the equation when it comes to sleep health. And so that is also something that we are aiming to solve on Better Sleep and on our app and in terms of our website and our blogs and our content, and just helping people understand the differences that women experience in their sleep versus men. That's the starting point. There's mm-hmm. so much work to be done.
Right, right. You know, and I like the concept of, because I think this is an important point for the listeners to understand. You're talking about things that can help people to calm their system, help prepare them for sleep, work with their body and the natural things that their body is doing. So naturally for all of us, for a human being, when that light goes down and it starts to become nighttime, our body releases melatonin to give us the cue that it's time to start preparing for sleep. And I hear so many people, and you can see it by just going to the drugstore, who buy melatonin like candy. And they buy 5 milligram and they buy 10 milligram. Way, 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 way too high of a dose for anybody to ever need. 0.1 milligram to 3 milligrams max would be anything that somebody needs. And we don't even need it because our body produces it. So people then end up the next day with brain fog and all these issues because they've got too much melatonin in them that they're popping like a sleeping pill when melatonin should be taken hours before sleep. And the reason I'm going off on this whole information is because I think people don't know this. And the point is that meditation, using the types of things that your app provides, is a much more effective way for them to address their need to get to sleep than taking something that they don't understand in the wrong dose that makes their sleep worse and their day worse the next day. So that's my rant, but I'll get your feedback.
Yes, I second your rant. I mean, it's a huge problem. I think what people don't understand is better sleep starts during the day. It starts by taking care of yourself during the day. Something that you can do, and you know, maybe you're opposed to meditation, and that's okay because a lot of people are opposed to meditation. But if you think of find ways to calm your mind and calm your brain during the day, that leads you. I mean, there are studies that show that that leads to better sleep at night. And so, all of our advisors, they tell me when they talk to their patients that their first guidance is like, well, take care of yourself during the day so that you have better sleep at night. And it's like practicing, you know, good hygiene. It's like if you're clearly there's certain things that you shouldn't do, like you shouldn't drink before bed because that will disrupt your sleep cycle. And so it's like calming your mind, finding ways to calm your mind during the day, avoiding alcohol and caffeine past a certain time, staying away from addictive substances like your phone or social media late at night. These are things that are going to help you get a better sleep. Even though, you know, even though they might be fun in the long term, they're hurting you. But, you know, what else is hurting you is your rant, is exactly what you said. It's like thinking that you can mess up the whole day and then just take a magical pill and erase it. And so that's actually not possible, unfortunately. You have to take care of yourself.
Right, right. And it's really kind of sad. And I'm going to ask you about some other blind spots in today's sleep health ecosystem. But I'm going to start off by just sharing a story of my own, which is so many of my patients, we're talking about the melatonin and all, you know, they, not their fault, they just don't understand proper sleep hygiene and things, and they will lay in bed for hours trying to sleep, i.e. just building anxiety over the fact that they're not sleeping, which makes them not sleep, and it's a vicious cycle. So, you know, they turn to, let me take an over-the-counter pill, let me go to my doctor and get a prescription pill, you know, because obviously nothing is going to fix my sleep but a pill. And then, of course, they start to learn about all the negatives of the pills, and they're still not sleeping well. So in terms of other blind spots and things in the sleep health ecosystem, do you have any thoughts for us on that?
I mean, I think the whole industry seems really filled with blind spots, unfortunately. I think anything that's billed, you know, as a quick fix is quite frankly, it's not the fix that you need. And I think understanding that it's like, it's, you can solve sleep, but a pill won't solve it for you. Throwing money at the solution, like a mattress might aid you, but if you're someone who's on social media all day, or you're in a really stressful job and you just expect your mat to fall into your mattress and boom, it's like takes care of you, that's just not going to happen. And so I'd say like the biggest blind spot is just that as humans, we're super busy. We've got a lot on our plate. We want quick fixes. And unfortunately, your health is not a quick fix. It's something that takes an investment, not necessarily a financial investment, but it's something that takes intention. And, you know, everyone can experience good sleep, or I shouldn't say everyone, you know, there are some people with very deep clinical issues, which, you know, might make that impossible, but most people can experience good sleep with intentionality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So given everything that we've talked about today and given your knowledge of the sleep industry as a whole, take us 5 years and 10 years out. What do you see as potential new proactive ways for people to be able to improve their sleep?
Wouldn't it be great if we could just get back to basics rather than going, like relying on every TikToker to tell you what to do with sleep? I mean, what I would love to see is that we do go back to basics where we're not spending hundreds of dollars on these supplements. We're not spending tens of thousands of dollars on mattresses or specific sheets. And we're calming our mind. We're doing sensible things like not drinking alcohol, caffeine after a certain hour. That would be my hope. I don't think that necessarily will happen, but that's my hope. I do fear that we are headed into more of a commercialization of sleep. But I think one thing that if there is one part of a commercialization that I would like, it would be more around holistic testing of why your sleep is struggling. So for me, and you know, there are a lot of people who do suffer from iron deficiencies and they're unaware of it. If it wasn't for the blood tests that I took this past summer, I wouldn't have gotten to the root cause of my sleep issues, despite having gone to 4 or 5 doctors, despite having taken the sleeping pills, seeing the therapist, doing everything that I should. And so my hope is that we evolve to a place where there are diagnostics that can actually help you understand why you're not sleeping. And that's something, probably one of the things I'm most excited to be at the helm of Better Sleep, because as someone who had to get to the bottom of a sleep apnea case in a four-year-old, and someone who had to get through an anemia case, you know, it took a lot of effort and a lot of resources to get there. And so if we can make that easier for consumers, I think we're going to be so much better off as a society.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you said that you're starting to integrate this option in your app to get access to the doctors and the tests and things people need, because testing is getting better. And now, like you said, we can do the home sleep apnea test, for example. You don't need to go into a sleep lab. You don't need to go through all of what you used to have to go through. So the fact that we have new tools and new technology that are helping us to become more aware, there's pros and cons. But at least if we do it right, we benefit. So we're actually out of time, but I'm going to give you the last word here. So tell us, you know, what would you say is sort of the most important thing that people should be thinking about when they're looking to improve their sleep?
If you're looking to improve your sleep, I say better sleep starts during the day. It starts with intentionality. I'd like to think that it starts with better sleep as well. And so if you are struggling with sleep, I do recommend that you download our app, Better Sleep. You can find us on the App Store or on our website, bettersleep.com. But it really starts during the day. It starts with an intentionality. With an app, without an app, with supplements, without supplements, you have to be intentional about it. My hope is that everyone can experience the best sleep of their lives, because it's just such a critical foundation for the rest of our health.
Great, great. Well, we really appreciate you being here, sharing your own personal story and the story of what your company is doing to help improve people's sleep. This has been Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. Join us for future episodes, one new episode every week. We cover everything you'd ever want to know about sleep and things you never knew you needed to know about sleep. Natalie Walton, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Sleep Science Today, your number one sleep authority.
Sleep Science Today.